Evening, everybody. It's so nice to be with you. Kat read something today from the Big Book, and I wonder if you caught what Bill Wilson's wish for you was as to when we get connected to the higher power. Does anybody remember the reading? It gave a time frame. Well, let me help you out. Now, he said, now, may you find him now. So, if you're sitting early in sobriety, a few days, few weeks, few months, and you're kind of waiting around, no, don't wait. Today, we're going to be talking about how to develop this conscious contact. And when do you start? Now. Don't wait until you're 3 months sober, 5, 6 months sober, or a year sober. Start today, because that's all we have. So the subject of my talk is just the contact. And I want to bring you back earlier in my sobriety. It's 5:17 in the morning, January, the kitchen. The window above the sink is black, not dark, but black. The kind of black that has weight to it. The furnace has just kicked on, and I can hear it through the floor before I feel it. I'm sitting at the table, both hands wrapped around a cup of coffee. Not reading, not planning. Not thinking about the day, just sitting. And I've been doing this, or trying to, for over 50 years. And I want to be honest with you tonight about what it actually looks like. Not the version from a book, not a version from someone who has it all figured out. The version from a man sitting in the dark kitchen at 5:17 in January, whose mind started making a grocery list 30 seconds in. I'm John, and I'm an alcoholic, and I want to talk to you about the 11th step, about prayer and meditation, about what conscious contact actually means when the room is cold and silence doesn't feel peaceful. It just feels like silence. About a question my sponsor asked me in 1977, and I have not stopped answering. Step 11 says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I want to stay with that word, sought. Not found, not achieved, not mastered, not or completed or arrived at. Sought. The step is not a destination. It's a direction. The distinction between a destination you arrive at and the direction you keep moving in, that distinction is everything. Because if step 11 is a destination, then the question every morning we'd ask, how do I get there? And most mornings, if I'm honest, the answer is not completely, not the way I had hoped. But if step 11 is a direction, if seeking itself the practice, then the question every morning is different. Did I show up and try? That question can be answered honestly. Most mornings, yes. Let me tell you what the step is not asking for. It is not asking for certainty. I've been in these rooms for 50 plus years. I have sat with hundreds of people who are waiting, genuinely waiting, to feel certain enough about God to pray to Him, certain enough about prayer to try it, certain enough about meditation to sit down and for more than 4 minutes check without checking the clock. They are waiting for a faith that is settled before it acts. And that faith does not arrive that way. It arrives through acting. The step does not say, once you have achieved sufficient certainty about God, pray. It says, sought. Active. Already begun. The seeking comes before the certainty. The seeking is the faith. Here is the contrarian thing I want to say about step 11. Most of us approach prayer as if it is a transmission. We send something, a request, a gratitude, a list of concerns, and we wait for something to come back, a feeling, a direction, a sense that someone received what we sent. And when that feeling doesn't come, we decide we're not doing it right, or God is not listening, or this step works for other people, but not for us. See, that's the wrong model. Think about a radio. A radio doesn't generate the signal, it receives it. But for it to receive, the dial has to be turned to the right frequency. The static has to be reduced. The antenna has to be extended. The signal is already broadcasting. The question is whether you are configured to receive it. Prayer and meditation are not about transmitting requests to God who may or may not be listening. Prayer and meditation is about reducing the static, about turning towards the signal, about making yourself receivable. My sponsor came to the house one morning in 1977. I had about 5 years of sobriety at that moment. I was working, I was sponsoring men, and I was doing everything the program asked. He sat across from me at that kitchen table, the same table as the one I was describing to you earlier. And he watched me for a minute without saying a word. He then said, very quietly, "You're still running." I said, "Running from what?" "I'm sober. I go to meetings. I work with men." He said, "You're running from silence." I said, "What? Silence? I pray every morning. I do the inventory." He said, "Do you stop? Or do you just add quieter noise?" Quieter noise. I thought about that phrase for almost 50 years because he was right. What I have been calling prayer was mostly a monologue, a report, sometimes a request, well-intentioned, sincerely felt, but a monologue nonetheless. What I have been calling meditation was concentration, trying hard to think about something spiritual for a fixed number of minutes before the day began. It was effort. It was work. It was the old project dressed in a new hour of the day. The old project, in case you're wondering if you recognize it, is the project of managing yourself, monitoring and assessing, deciding what is wrong and what requires improvement and how to address it. Active addiction is the extreme version of that project. You manage the feelings with substance. You monitor the level. You decide when to increase the dose. But when the project doesn't end, when you put down the substance, it just gets sophisticated. In early recovery, it looks like self-examination. In middle recovery, it looks like service and busyness. In long-term recovery, I say this is a man who has been in long-term recovery for over 50 years. It can look like very productive spiritual life. That is still underneath, quietly running the old software, still managing, still monitoring, still in charge. What my sponsor was pointing at that particular morning was this: you cannot hear anything when you're always talking. You cannot receive anything when your hands are full. You cannot be found if you're always the one doing the finding. Step 11 is the practice of stopping long enough to be findable. The step says praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Only. Not praying for things you need, not praying for the people you love, not praying for the situation that is keeping you up at 2 in the morning. Only. For His knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out. I want to be honest about how long it took me to stop negotiating with that word. Only is a hard word for people like us. Because people like us are problem solvers. We see a situation, we assess it, and we determine the desired outcome. And we work backwards from there. We are good at this. We were good at it before we were alcoholic. And we remain good at it in recovery. So when we pray the same way. We see the situation. We determine the desired outcome. We work backwards. And then we present the plan to God. With the unspoken expectation that he will recognize its merits and proceed accordingly. That's not prayer. That's lobbying. Lobbying is what you do when you already have the answer and you need someone with more authority to ratify it. Lobbying is self-will with its hands folded. And for years, and I'm not proud of this, but it's true. That is what I brought to the kitchen table at 5:17 in the morning. A well-organized presentation, what I believe needed to happen, delivered with sincerity, addressed to God I had come to believe in, and concluded with Amen. The shift, and it was a shift, not a revelation. It came slowly over years. The shift from presenting to listening. From here is what I think needs to happen to What is being asked of me today that I cannot see yet? Those two prayers feel very different in the body. The first one has direction, outward, forward, toward the resolution you've already planned. The second one is a very different posture entirely. Open, still, waiting for something you have not yet imagined. Available. I want to say something about meditation because I think it is more misunderstood half of this step, and I don't want to leave it alone. There are books about meditation, apps, retreats, certifications, people who have studied it deeply and practice it rigorously and can explain the neuroscience of what happens in the brain during sustained quiet attention. I don't have any of that for you tonight. What I have is this. In January at 5:17, both hands around the coffee cup, the furnace running under the floor, the window going from black to the first gray suggestion of morning, and the discipline, because it is a discipline, it's not a feeling, of not filling it. Not filling it with planning, not filling it with reviewing yesterday, not filling it with low-level productivity that passes the rest in people who haven't learned how to stop. Just the window, the cup, the dark, the furnace. The willingness to not be useful for 20 minutes. That is meditation in my experience. Not the emptying of the mind. I have never once emptied my mind, 50 years and counting. The grocery list always comes. The concern about conversation surfaces. The plan for the afternoon appears. What meditation teaches is not how to stop thinking. It teaches how to notice that you've started again and then you return. Return to what? To the window, to the cup, to the presence. To the fact of being a living creature sitting in a warm kitchen on this particular morning in January. Not in yesterday's regret, not in tomorrow's planning. Here. And here is the thing where we contact becomes possible. Not elsewhere. Not in resolution of all outstanding issues, not in achievement of a spiritual state you read about. Here. Let me come back to the radio. The signal is broadcasting, and it was broadcasting when you were drinking. It was broadcasting in the worst years. The years when you couldn't hear it because the static was total, and you had no reason to believe there was anything on the other side of it. It didn't stop. You stopped or got stopped, and the static began to clear. Step 11 is the daily practice of keeping the receiver clean. Not receiving the signal perfectly, not hearing it without interruption or distortion, not arriving at a static-free reception that never wavers. Just every morning, turning toward it, reducing the noise, and extending the antenna. Trying. There's a sacred identity in every human being. Not the identity you've been building, not the one assembled from survivor. and effort and long work in recovery. The one that was there before any of that. The addiction buried but could not destroy. Step 11 is the practice of quieting down long enough for that identity to surface. Not to discover something new, to remember something that was always there. I want to close where I started. 5:17 in the morning, January, the kitchen. The window above the sink is black. The furnace through the floor, both hands around the coffee cup. Most mornings I sit there and the contact is not clear. I'll say that plainly because I don't want you to leave tonight thinking that 50 years of practice produces 50 years of clean reception. It does not. Some mornings the signal comes through, not in words, not as a voice, but as the quality of attention, a quiet clarity about what is being asked of me, a sense, a brief, unmistakable, easy to miss if you're not looking for it. That's there as their direction. Some mornings it doesn't come at all. The grocery list wins. The day barges in at 5:45. 20 minutes passed, and I'm not sure anything happened. And I have to come to believe, slowly, against my initial disappointment, that those days are not wasted. Because on the mornings, I don't show up. On the mornings, I choose the noise, the plan, the productive use of an early morning hour. Those are the mornings I am most likely to be unkind. Before 9 a.m., most likely to run an old pattern, most likely to make something about me that was never about me. Showing up changes what I bring to the day. Not because the contact is always clear, because the trying is always honest. My sponsor asked me in 1977, are you stopping or are you just adding quieter noise? I've been trying to answer that question honestly every morning since. Some mornings I stop. Some mornings I add quieter noise and think I've stopped. And some mornings, just some, the window goes from black to gray. And something in the silence says, this is enough. You are here. That is enough. 5:17 in January, both hands around a coffee cup. The window starting to lighten. The signal somewhere on the other side of the static, and a man sitting still enough, long enough. To hear something. Thank you for your generous listening. I'll take it back to Robert, or to Tom.